If knitting were an Olympic sport, Christina Fagan Pardee would be a contender for the gold. Christina is the founder and CKO, which stands for Chief Knitting Officer, of a Boston-based knitwear company that she built out of a college knitting blog. Now, we can't say the full name of her company on air because the FCC would have something to say to us about that, but I'll tell you that it is blank that I knit, or stick for short, and the blank rhymes with mitt. You know, like mitten. Okay, so Christina builds this business out of a dorm room blog. And since then, there's no such thing as an Olympic gold in knitting. She grew the business until she could do the next best thing, which is license a line of products in partnership with Team USA for this last year's Winter Olympics. Here to tell us how you go from dorm room zen knitting to being an Olympic outfitter, Christina Fagan Pardee. Christina, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
It's great. It's great to have you. So I kind of want to start back at your knitting in your dorm room.
Yeah.
At what point did you think this could be a business?
I often say that it's kind of embarrassing to admit when I thought it could be a business, because I think someone might lock me up in a mental institution as I was knitting at home at my parents' house. You know, whether I was a 21-year-old or 25-year-old, I really had very big dreams for this business. So when I was in college, it was really just for fun. My sisters were making fun of me for knitting so much. They said, you should start this website. So I did. And then when I graduated from school, it was really very much my creative outlet and fun fact that, you know, I'm 22. I'm in sales by day, but I love to knit by night.
And knitter by night.
Yes, exactly. Very cool. Very social.
So how do we get from there? Well, let me not do it that way. Let's talk about seeing your stuff at the Olympics first, right? So first you're knitting at home with your family. Now, fast forward, your stuff is on the most elite athletes in the world. Yeah. How did that feel?
Pretty wild. I mean, I think when you start a business, you're someone like me who's very motivated just to get the next thing. You very not very frequently are you sitting back to reflect, but definitely that forced me to pause and really be like, wow, I'm very proud of this accomplishment. I was very persistent in getting that deal. It was something that I worked on for about 4 years. My team was very scrappy in getting it done. So very, very much a proud moment and still kind of unbelievable, to be honest.
And describe what athletes might have been wearing.
They were wearing our hand-knit beanies and mittens that said Team USA on them. They're all hand-knit by our team down in Lima, Peru. We employ about 400 women there, most of whom are moms who can take care of their kids while they knit. So this order was also huge for them because it was such a huge increase over what we typically would be making during any given year, to be able to supply not only the athletes but also spectators and coaches and anyone who wanted to support Team USA. So it was a very big endeavor.
And you source your yarn from Peru as well, as I understand.
Correct.
It.
Yeah. We use mostly 100% Peruvian merino wool.
So tell me about that relationship, because I know it's an important piece of how you operate your business. Mm-hmm. When you went from some friends here, yep, who were kind of helping you knit to fulfill orders, to this operation with women in Peru.
Yeah. So the first season we had, you know, it was me and my mom knitting together. And then this, as you mentioned, this group of women who had actually come to my parents' house, pick up yarn and knit it. And that was really great and a great experience in figuring out how to produce things, but it definitely wasn't scalable. So I started doing a lot of research about, you know, outsourcing South America. I was currently finding yarn in Peru anyway, so I started looking there. And I actually connected with a nonprofit that was able to connect me with the group that I work with today. So that first order back in, I think, 2017 or 2016, it was probably for like 500 units. It was very small. I think probably just like a handful of women were knitting for us, and it's just really grown over the years. It's something I feel so passionate about. You know, I think if a potential investor looked at our numbers, they'd say, gosh, you know, your margins could be a little better if you had that produced by machine, maybe in China. But I really care, and our customers really care about sustainably sourced, socially responsible supply chain. And it feels so good to have that relationship with those women.
So from 500 units then to how many today?
It's thousands and thousands and thousands of them. It's pretty crazy.
And how did we get here? What was the moment when you really broke through?
Gosh, there's been so many little moments. I mean, I've been at this for almost 8 years. It's by no means an overnight success. It's been a lot of hard work. There have been strangers that have come out of the woodwork that have just helped me. I think it's such a happy story, and people are so excited about what we're doing that, you know, people like Katie Couric have somehow found us, and I've become friends with her, and she's really helped me get to places where we are today, or Sarah Jessica Parker wearing things.
So what are their products of preference? What do you make that a Katie Couric or a Sarah Jessica Parker is wearing?
Well, like a Katie Couric, she just loves the story of give back and supporting other women, and she wanted to support me as a woman. So she wears our beanies, she sends them to her friends, she supports supports us on our Instagram. So it's really not only about the product, but really about the story behind our company and our growth story.
Do we have a strong knitting community here in the Commonwealth? And mm-hmm. did it explode during the pandemic?
Yes, in a way. I mean, for the most part, we're selling finished goods. But right. during the pandemic, there was that Friday when Boston really shut down, and my dad had walked past a needlepoint store and saw people in there clamoring for any sort of project for what we thought would be that 2-week lockdown. And he came to me and said, you really should make knitting kits for, you know, this 2 weeks. And I was like, I can't do that. That's too much. I don't know what to do. But I went to a local store here in Boston called Gather Here. Shout out, they're my favorite knitting store in Cambridge. And I bought about 50 skeins of yarn and put it up on Instagram, and they sold out in, no joke, 5 minutes. Everyone was looking for a project. So over the next couple of weeks, we ended up buying more and more yarn, putting these kits together. And by, you know, during the height of the pandemic, we were selling thousands of knitting kits. We had this insane Facebook group where everyone would join to find the pattern and videos. So we have about 1,500 to 2,000 people in that group who really got together. And we've created some very prolific knitters who are, you know, kind of competitive to my business now. I'm like, wow, you're really good. So definitely a great community. I'll have people stop me at Starbucks and say, you saved my life during the pandemic. It was so nice to have a project to go to take my mind off things. So that's big.
So you're a real influencer, and you've been very active on Instagram. And one of the things that you've done with that is tell your story mm-hmm. as this business has developed. What's the hard part of this that you've talked about?
Gosh, I really do like to bring people into sort of that more unglamorous side of things, whether it's like when we had all of our unit, all of our product in-house and I was packing orders myself, you know, late into the night, what that looked like, or what it's like when I'm not really sure how I'm going to finance the business to be able to scale. Just being really transparent and open with our customer and with our followers, I think has been very beneficial to us because they're along the journey with us and want to support us and want to see us succeed. So it's not a marketing ploy. It's really just how I feel, and I like sharing and bringing people in. But it's worked to our benefit.
And sure. Have people shared surprising things back?
Yeah, you know, whether they want to help out or have different ideas. I've also connected with so many great other female entrepreneurs in Boston through Instagram who are so supportive, who I can quickly send a quick message to and say like, hey, how'd you do this? Don't need to reinvent the wheel on this packaging question or how to hire someone. So, you know, you just never know who you're going to meet. And that's where social media can be a really great tool.
All right. So we have some listener out there, I'm guessing, who hears this and says, there's something I'm good at and maybe I can turn it into a business too. Mm-hmm. If you could give one piece of advice to that listener, what would it be?
I always say that when I started my business, it was the fear of regret was bigger than the fear of failure. I was 25. I had no responsibilities. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to look back in 20 years and say, I had this thing that I was so excited about that made me so happy, that had such great energy, but I didn't do it because I was too afraid to fail. And so I'd say, if that's your feeling, then go for it. Because, you know, you can fall on your face and pick yourself back up, but regretting something years later would be a much bigger bummer to me.
And the next big dream for you with this business?
We're just keeping growing. I mean, we're still very New England based, so we really want to grow geographically and be much more of a national brand and international. Just want to be the best beanie in the world. That's the goal.
Okay, so what's the country where the day your products are there, you're like, okay, we hit it?
Ooh, I don't know. I guess all over the place. But Europe would be great just to get over there next.
All right. That is Christina Fagan-Party. She is the founder and chief knitting officer of a Boston-based knitwear company that we will call by its acronym, mm-hmm. STICK. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.